Okay, we're up to the beginning of Perek Tes. There's one other item that we need to discuss, but we'll go backwards as we proceed the Perek Tes. We'll come back to the thing that I want to mention in the end of Perek Ches. But right now, let's begin with Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph. V'yom eshem v'arba'o l'chodesh hazeh. It was now on the 24th day of this month. 24th day of Tishrei. What is the 24th day of Tishrei? It's the day after Isru Chag. How many days are there from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Aleph Tishrei, until the end of Shmini Atzeres? 22 days. So the 23rd day is Isru Chag. The 24th day is the day after Isru Chag. On Isru Chag, there are chumers. You're not allowed to have a spadim. You're not allowed to. You would say tachlin. Now the truth is, when it comes to Tishrei, it doesn't make a difference anyway, because the entire month is a month where we don't say tachlin and we don't do many things.
Nisan,
but Tishrei isn't Tishrei. Different opinions. The majority of the month. One thing is for certain, Isru Chag, at least in today's times, has more of a status of a Yom Tov than of the rest of the month. And therefore, now when they're going to gather, we're going to see in a few moments, they're going to fast, they're going to be mispalel, the misfadim, many of the source of how we conduct ourselves on the fast day comes from what we're about to learn in Pasuk in the following Sukkim. But all of these things are taking place not on Isru Chag, but on the 24th day of the month, and therefore we indirectly learn from here the laws, the severity, the kedusha of Isru Chag. Now that's, by the way, that's not according to all opinions. There are other opinions that learn when it says it was on the 24th day of the month, L'Chodesh Hazeh, that refers, this it was Isru Chag. How do you make that calculation? Because there were 2 days, we know that there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah. We discussed a few times. This year there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah. The 2 days Rosh Hashanah, we're counting 24 days. When it says it was the 24th day, L'Chodesh Hazeh, no, I'm going to get confused. Let's put that aside. There's another calculation where that the calendar was manipulated this particular year due to the Levana, and it was the 24th day indeed was Isru Chag. I got confused when I prepared. I thought I had it clear. So let's put that aside. But the simple interpretation is, we know in the Koyanak calendar that in today's times, the 22nd day is the last day of Yom Tov in Eretz Yisrael, at least. Vayisa Ach Sameach. Ach is, that's 21, so it doesn't fit. That's another drasha. I'm getting confused. But the 22nd day is Shmini Atzeres, 23rd day is Isru Chag. It's now the 24th day. They're all coming together. Let's see the pasuk. Vayhi Vayom Eshem V'Arba L'Chodesh Hazeh Nesvu V'Nei Yisrael B'Tzoyim. They gathered together B'Tzoyim. They fasted. U'V'Sakim. They wore sackcloth. That's the Adam Aleihem, and they took earth. They put earth upon their heads. That's a form of mourning, a form of fasting. It's a conduct that one does when one does tshuva. Three different things: fasting, sakin, and Adama Aleihem. Pasuk Beis. Vayibalu Zera Yisrael Mikol Bnei Nechar. Here they separate. They accept upon themselves to separate from their non-Jewish wives. This goes back to Sefer Ezra. Ezra, we know, he was the main force in breaking up marriages, men married to intermarriage. He was the force behind, and this goes back to the discussion we had yesterday or 2 days ago. What exactly did this event take place? Are we going back to the time of Ezra, or is this taking place now in the time of Nehemiah? There are two different opinions. We mentioned there's machlekes v'shoinim, this entire thing when it says it was the beginning of the seventh month. If we go back to the last pasuk of Perek Zayin, where it says that Vayiga HaChodesh HaShavi Uvnei Yisrael B'Areihem, after Nehemiah, he's certainly 35 years after the time of Ezra, but he finishes building the walls of Yerushalayim. He notices that the city is not populated, and there's a desperate need to bring in, to increase the population, and he takes out the records of the people who made Aliyah 35 years ago, and he goes through the names, and he tries to figure out what became of these people, and to search them out, to convince them to come and live inside the city of Yerushalayim. And he goes through all the names. Then, at the end, when Perek Ches begins, there's a discussion, we mentioned this, is this a continuation of what happened 35 years ago? And that would mean everything that happens over here, where Ezra's coming and taking out the Sefer Torah, and he's reading and he's teaching them, and there's the Meturgamon, and they're fasting and they're crying, and it's Rosh Hashanah, is taking place 35 years ago in the time of Ezra, or no? We finished at the end of Perek Zion discussing what took place 35 years ago, and now we're jumping fast forward ahead 35 years and we're discussing an entirely new event. Now here we're mentioning intermarriage. So if we learn that everything that we have read in Perek Ches took place 35 years ago, and it's just being mentioned from the perspective of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is mentioning, he's talking about Sukkos, as we discussed yesterday, and all the different things, but it's really 35 years ago at the time of Ezra, good morning, then it makes very good sense why here the Pasuk says that they separated from their non-Jewish wives, because that was the big event that indeed took place 35 years ago. Ezra, 35 years ago, gave Bnei Yisrael Musar that they have to separate from their non-Jewish wives. Intermarriage is forbidden. And that's what it means over here, Pasuk Beis, Vayibalu Zera Yisrael Mikol Bnei Nechar. The Zera Yisrael, the pure seed of Yisrael, they separated from their foreign wives. Vayamdu, and they got up. Vayisvadu, they confessed. Al Chatoisehem, on their sins, the sins of intermarriage. Vayavonos Avosehem, and the sins of their forefathers. But if you learn that this is 35 years later, how could there possibly be intermarriage when 35 years ago this problem was solved? So the answer is, there were new people who have arrived, the new Shmishvi HaGol over 35 years, more people have arrived from Chutz Liar from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, and they still have the problem, and now there was another round of Musar and to separate from the non-Jewish room. That's really how Rashi and the Metzudas, they pretty much, Metzudas very, very clearly explains that we're dealing here 35 years later, and it's now a new round of there was some lingering problems of intermarriage, and that's what they're being told to do. We'll come to the Metzudas in a few moments. Let's just go through the Pesukim first. Pasuk Gimel. What happened now? They confessed. They're fasting. They're wearing sackcloth. They have Adam al-Rosham. They committed themselves to separate from their non-Jewish wives. And they are confessing for their sins, the sins of their forefathers. Pasuk Gimel. Vayakumu al-Omdam. They stood. Now this refers to the people. The people stood by their stations. Everyone had a Kisra Mokham Kavua. Like we're learning in Kitz Shulchan Aruch. Everyone went to their place, their set place. Vayikru, and they read, B'sefer Teras Hashem Elokehem, the Sefer of the Torah of Hashem their God, Revias Hayom, for a quarter of the day. Revias Hayom, Revias Misvadim, U'mishtachavim LaShem Elokehem. So for a quarter of the day, they confessed. And for a quarter of the day, they davened. They were mispalul for the future. The confessing is for the past. We have charata al ha'avar, and the second revias, and one time. They read, they learned Torah for a quarter of the day. For a quarter of the day, they misvadim, they confessed. They bowed before, bowed Lashem Elokehem. The other half of the day does not tell us what they did. Does not tell us, but they spent. If a day has 12 hours, so that I guess means that for 3 hours they were involved in learning Torah, and in the 3 hours they were involved in tefillah, confession, and tefillah laHashem. Okay, we'll see the Mefarshim in a few moments. Let's do a few more pesukim. Vayakam al Malei Halavim. At this point in time, the Levim stood upon their steps. We know that in the Beis Hamikdash there was inside the Azara three steps, which was called the Duchan, where the Levim would stand and play and musical instruments and sing when the Korbanos were being offered. That's one platform that they had. And the other platform they had was the 15 steps which went from Shar Nigna, from the Ezras Noshim, into the Azara. those steps were also set aside for the Ledim, and during the time of the Simchas Pesach HaShoeva, the musicians would stand there, they would play. So it's not clear exactly what platform they were standing upon, but there was some type of platform where the Ledim had in the Migdash at this point in time, where they stood to instruct the people what we're about to read. Vayakam al male halavim, Yehu stood there, 8 people. Yeshua, Uvani, Kadmiel, Shevanya, Buni, Sheravya, Boni, Chinoni. These are 8 people. What's very interesting about these 8 people, we only mention them by their first names. We do not mention them by their father's names, and we do not mention anything about them. We learned in the past, in the previous parakim, we mentioned family names, people from different cities, nothing, just nothing more than their first name. And what do they do? Vayizaku b'kol gadol Hashem Elokehem, and they cried out with a great voice to Hashem Elokehem. Okay, now, there's some very important things here, so let's go slow. Let's first see the Rashis for the first 4 pasuk. Rashi pasuk aleph, the adama alehem. What do they do on this day? On the 24th day of Tishrei, the day after Ishruchag, they confessed, they fasted. Helu ofer al rosham. They took earth, they put earth on their head. This was an ancient form of mourning. Mikol b'nei nechar, and they committed themselves to separate from their non-Jewish wives. So if you read the pasuk literally, you would not know what's going on. It just may say, we're going to sever our business ties with the nations of the world. Is that what it means? We're going to separate from the Bnei Nechar. Obviously not. If Parnassa, there's no prohibition in engaging Parnassa with non-Jews. So what then does the pasuk mean? So Rashi tells us the deeper meaning. It means intermarriage. Bnei Nechar means intermarriage. Like we learned in Sefer Ezra, this was a repeat. There were still some people that were nichshol in intermarriage. Ezra did not clean out all of the problematic individuals, and therefore there had to be another round of Musar. Pasuk Dalit, they stood al male halavim, malos hayusham shalavim oimdim sham aleim b'shash amu shira. So this is difficult because it would appear that they were in the Azara. And generally speaking, the Yisraelim would not come into the Azara unless they would bring a carbon. There was the only place where the Yisraelim can come into the Azara is the first 11 Amos. The next 11 Amos is the Ezras, first is called Ezras Yisrael. Then comes the Ezras Koyhanim. And that's it. After the next 11 Amos, no one goes. The only people who go there are the Levim who do the Avodah. The only exception was Erev Pesach. When they brought the Karban Pesach, everyone was allowed to go into the Azara, and they used up the entire space of the Azara. So here where they are receiving Musar, it's very interesting that everyone is coming into the Azara, and they're listening to the Levim. Levim are sitting on their platform, which is in the Ezras, in the area of the closer towards the Mizbeach, and it's a small area, and yet it appears a lot of people were able to miraculously enter in this very small area. That's at least according to Rashi. Okay, now let's see the Mitzudos, the first 4 Pesukim. Neslu, Yishlaim, Lashuv, LaHashem, Al Ma'alam. Everyone gathered to Yishlaim. They were so inspired by what happened on Rosh Hashanah and observing Sukkos for eight days. They all came back on the day after Ishruchag to go further in their tshuva, come close to Hashem on the 24th day. Uvesakim in sackcloth, uvelevisha sakim v'hum inyan tshuva hachna. Even see today, I never saw this until recently, pictures online where they have a Yom Tzom in Eretz Yisrael for some time. Sometimes you see them wearing sackcloth. They actually do this today. They during when there's an ace tzara, let's say there's no rain, or there is other problems, and they call for Yom Tzom at the Kosel. They have sackcloth, actual wheel sackcloth. They put it on. You look online, you can see. So this is a new thing. What are you saying, Rav Chol?
Saying that if you're going to put on such a public display of Krumkeit, you better be able to live up to it.
Aha, okay, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Designer sackcloth.
Okay, but look out for it. It's an interesting thing.
Rabbi,
yeah.
The word Elokei, that it's
kind of repetitious, and is it necessary? In other words, when Rebbe says, could have been Mishtachavim Ladashem.
I hear what you're saying. I don't know. It's a
their God.
Their God.
Not our God, but
possessive. Maybe it has a connotation that they felt the connection to Hashem. They did tshuva to the point where it's my God. I really, it's not just
their God.
Distant.
It's their God.
Yeah, yes. There's a possessiveness. It's a possessiveness. Our God. I hear. I don't know the answer. It's an interesting point. Okay, let's go for it. The Adama, they put Adama next. The Ofel Roshim Vagam Zemin the Shuvah Pasuk Beis Mikol Bnei Necha Minoshim. Okay, so he's sending Minoshal Eidik Chav Uveneim and their children. They're the children that were non-Jewish. Uchamashama BeEzra, like we learned in Sefer Ezra Pasuk Gimel Al Amdam. Everyone went Al Mamodam VeLezozim Mukam. Everyone they stood by their station. Everyone stood in their place and they listened to the Levim give them Musar. Pasigdal, Vayakam Ali Vayakam, Al Yeshulabat Hu Khaizer Khoim Vayakam, Yeshua Vukhol Bnei, the one that now stood up was Yeshua and his other seven companions. They stood on their platform and they now call that Vayzaku Bikol Godol Al okay, fine. That's Al Maila Halavim. Al Hamaila Shay Halavim Amdim Alayim Labashir. They stood on the platform with Levim, who normally stand when they sang Shira and when they play the musical instruments. They call Gadol L'Oyeres HaKavana, a loud voice to arouse Kavana. Okay, now, first thing, it says here that they called out Bikol Vayizaku Bikol Godol El Hashem Eloi Kehem. The Medrash explains what exactly were they crying for. They were crying to remove Hashem Shubi Mevatel Vayetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Until this point in time, just like today we can appreciate that a healthy person has a taiva for Isha for Nashim, there's a Yetzahara for Nashim, and a person has to always be on guard, not to put yourself in a situation where you'll be exposed to things which will cause a person to lose control of his desire for Nashim. So we have no understanding how this works, but in the time of Chazal there was a Yetzahara to worship idols. The whole Tanakh is filled with Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, the whole Sefer Melachim. You can't even read one pasuk without learning about Avodah Zarah. And we look at this and we're baffled. Who today has a taiva to bow down to? I see someone in the street of a taiva to bow down to an idol. It's unheard of. So the answer is, that's right, we really don't know what this is all about. It was batel. And these three words that we just read today, okay, these are incredible three words which changed the entire Tanakh. These three words is the difference between Tanakh. It's a different world. They cried out to Hashem. They recognized that they would never survive. They would never survive the Bayis Sheni if they continued to have the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So the Anshei Knesses HaGedola, they were Mespalel, they first made a request from the Ribbono Shel Olam if it's proper thing to do, that we should be Mevatel the Yetzirah. And the Gemara says that Piska, a little tzetel, came out of heaven and it said Emes. It says, you've made a good request. What you've done, it's correct. What you have asked that the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah should be silenced so that you can survive. And the Gemara, there's a Gemara, where's my Megillah? I forgot where the Gemara is, I don't have it here in my safe. It's an elaborate procedure where they captured the Yetzirah, they put the Yetzirah in an iron tube, and they sealed it. And when they were mispalel, where did the Yetzirah come from? It came out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, the tsura of a lion, a fire that was in the shape of a lion. They were able to extract it from the Kodesh HaKodashim. They put it in a tube, they sealed it, and they sent it away. No longer can the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah have any control over Klal Yisrael. The Gemara also incidentally tells us that they were mispal. Once we're at it, why are we now remaining mispal for the Yetzar, for Noshin, for Gili Arayos? Why not? We shouldn't have any Tivus anymore. So they did. Indeed, they succeeded, and they captured the Yetzar for Avod. They captured it. And then they woke up the next morning into a new world. no longer did men have a yetzar for a woman, and no longer was a clear mind, no influences over, and no desire for avodah zarah. What was the problem? They went to breakfast, and they said, "Today, someone asked, can I have scrambled eggs?" And the chef said, "Sorry, there are no eggs today. The supplier did not deliver eggs." "Why not?" "I don't know." They made an investigation. The chickens were on strike because the chickens had no... The whole world did not have a desire to produce...
To procreate.
They no longer saw... They realized they made a mistake. So what did they do? They restored. They were mispalel to Hashem that the Yetzar for Nashim should be restored, but not 100%. They blinded its eye. They blinded its eye that the desire was reduced 50%. So that basically means that the taiva that a man has today, a healthy man has today for a woman, is only half of what it used to be in ancient times. And now try to imagine, just think about this. Think about this, that the Yetzirah, Dr. Fuchter.
Which Gemara is this?
I think in Megillah.
Part of the Zarek, the different places.
So the Yetzirah for Nashim is only half what we have to, and try to imagine doubling that. And try to imagine, in addition to that, there's another Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, to worship idols. Go to your mind, right? You can't live. But that's so. Now, someone once told me a very interesting part. You know, we have the discussion with Zman HaZeh that the eggs today, what's the share of a beitza? These are discussions. It's a controversial topic. That the eggs today are half the size they were in the time of Chazal. So where does that come from? So someone once suggested to me, it's because since the Yetzar for Nashim, as the Gemara says, has been diminished by 50%, so built into the Taiva, the eggs are only today half the size as they were in ancient times. Not everyone agrees with that idea. There's a lot of research been done, if it's really true, that we go back. If we go back ancient times, if it's really true that the eggs are double the size. But it's brought down, this is a very popular approach, how to reconcile discrepancies in Chazal, half the size, but there's something to it, you make this connection. All of this, it's amazing. You look at Tanakh, baffled. What's going on? What is going on? Avodah Zarah. Even the Taif Arayos in the Torah, you get the flavor that it was much, much more than it is today. All of that changed with this one, three little words. Three little words right here in Nehemiah Perites Pasidalid, Vayizaku Bekol Gadol. They cried out with a great scream, "We can no longer survive the situation as the way it is." Hashem was maskim. Hashem allowed the Anshei Knesses Hagadola, through incredible power, which we have no understanding of, to put an end to this, and they did succeed. Now, there was collateral damage. What's the collateral damage? Zel umazel osalukim. Our desire, the kochos of tuma. Hashem created the world with the koyach of bechira. Person always has free will, and whenever there are great influences of evil in this world, Hashem corresponds by giving us great kochos of kedusha in this world. Always has to be a balance between the forces of good and the forces of evil. The forces of Kedusha versus the forces of Tumah. What was the collateral damage of losing the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah and half of Gilui Arayos? Nevuah came to an end. At this point in time, the last Nevi'im were present. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. According to many opinions, Ezra is Malachi, and Zechariah was present. He was one of the people that participated in the battle of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and that was it. There's not going to be any more. You're not going to have the nesyonos of Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. You're not going to have this connection, this powerful connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through of prophecy, of a Nevuah. Nevuah came to an end. Now let's go back for a few moments just to the end of Perek Ches, where we learn about Yehoshua. We learned about Yehoshua in Par Pasuk Yud Zayin. We discussed this pasuk yesterday at length, but now we have an entirely different idea. Vayasu kol akohol hashavim and hashiri sukos gezuntait. They celebrated the yontif of sukos. Vayeshu basukos ki loy asumi me Yehoshua benun kain bnei Yisrael ad hayom ahu vati simcha gedol lameod. They had a great celebration. They have not celebrated the yontif of sukos since the times of Yehoshua bin Nun. So we discussed yesterday, it's not Mestava, they didn't celebrate Sukkos for 950 years. They certainly did. So we gave gave different interpretation of what it means, with the same degree, the same, the Shlem, they didn't leave, they spent the entire day in the Sukkos, they did not celebrate with the same Kiddush, or the same Chavivos, since some of Yehoshua bin Nun. We discussed the idea of the communal Sukkah. They're celebrating Sukkos as individuals, they're celebrating Sukkos nationally. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, it's the land, it's a diras keva for the nation, and you have to immediately establish that. We recognize that the land is not the only thing. We don't live just to enjoy the land, we live to use the land as a means to serve Hashem. So there must be a communal celebration of Sukkos to bring out that point we discussed yesterday. Therefore, we have Yeshua was kibush rishon and Ezra was kibush sheni. But Chazal here go a step further, and they take note that Yeshua is Yehoshua, and part of his name is missing. The hey of the name is missing. Why is the hey missing? Because Chazal here are criticizing Yeshua. What are they criticizing him? That Ezra, when Ezra, at this moment in time when it celebrated Sukkos, it was part of the process of the Mevatel, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. When they were Mevatel, the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, Hashem looked down favorably upon Klal Yisrael, that this was a great merit to them. They were Mispal, they asked Hashem to put an end to the Yetzirah. Hashem agreed. And that was a very great merit. And that merit protected Klal Yisrael like a sukkah. Shelter. When a person is out in the open, he's exposed to the elements. It's dangerous. You get wet, too hot, too cold. When you're indoors, you're in a shelter, you are protected. The zechus of being mevatel, the yetzahara fu avodah zarah, and diminishing the yetzahara gilei arayos, served as a merit and protected Klal Yisrael as if they were in a spiritual shelter. And we now criticize Yehoshua. Why didn't Yehoshua do the same thing? When Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, this is what Chazal is telling us, it's very hard for us to understand. Yehoshua also recognized there's no way the people are going to survive living in this land with the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah and Gilei Arayos, as we see. Go through Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, every pasuk is Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah, Avodah Zarah. Yehoshua also knew that he had an option of being mispalel with his companions to be mevatel the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah, but chose not to. He chose, let's have the Yetzirah, we'll be oimed in the Nisoyon, and then we will receive great reward. Zelumaz, a person does not have no pain, no gain. If you don't have the Nisayon, you're not going to receive the extra spiritual reward. Yeshua chose not to. So now we're coming back and we're criticizing Yeshua. You know, Yeshua, maybe you should have been Mispalo. Had you been Mispalo, the Jews would have lived in Eretz Yisrael during the time of the Bais Rishon a very different life. And they would have built a permanent Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach would have come, possibly a lot sooner. So the question then is, why then didn't Yeshua do it? The answer is, Yeshua did not want to give up prophecy. Yeshua felt, the time is not yet right. Because Yeshua also knew that if we will give up the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, if we'll put an end to it, all of the Nevi'im will not exist. There won't be Achia Hashiloini. There won't be a Yeshaya. There won't be a Yirmiyah. There won't be a Yecheskel. There won't be all of the various. We don't even know what will the Madreg of David HaMelech be. David was also a Navi. What's his Madreg? What's Shmuel going to be like? What's going to be with all of these Neviim? All of the Shoiftim, not all of them, but some of the Shoiftim had a status of prophets. What's going to be? Is it really Kedai to give up all of these holy people and not allow them to reach the level of their spiritual potential by putting an end to the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah? It's a very tough question. On the other one hand, if we put an end to it, we're not going to have Sefer Melachim, where every other pasuk we're going to have these terrible things of people sacrificing their children, putting their children in fire for Molech, and all these other bizarre, strange forms of idolatry. But on the other hand, the trade-off is we're going to lose Nevi'im. So Yeshua made a calculated decision that in his time, it's Kedai to retain the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, so that we will have Zelu Mazel, we will have the benefit of the prophets, and we'll hope for the best. In hindsight, no, definitely not. He's not wrong, absolutely not. But it's not a perfect world. There was a sacrifice. The sacrifice, there was a lot of Avodah Zarah, a lot of Chil Hashem, a lot of Tzaris, and his name is deficient. He lost out. He lost out the hay of his name. But it was a sacrifice that he felt he had to make. There's no perfect world. There's no perfect solution. Every decision you make, there's a trade-off. You can't have everything. Once the course of computers, the whole purpose of the course was to show, it was a hard course, everything in computers is a trade-off. If you want to take this approach to the programming, you want to follow this algorithm, what's the trade-off? The trade-off will be this. If you want to use a certain type of hardware for your system, what's the trade-off? This is the trend. Every single thing is a trade-off. In life, that's everything. You cannot have everything. There are yechidim. Very, very few yechidim that have everything. But the hamoinam, you have to make in your life a decision. What's the ikur and what's the tafel? And the tafel is going to suffer. Yeshua here made a calculated decision. The ikur is going to be nevuah. What's going to be the collateral damage? There will be an uncontrollable Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. The people at this time were on a very much higher spiritual level. They had the tools to deal with it, to overcome the Yetzirah if they really applied themselves. Unfortunately, there was a very big mitzvah which many people could not handle, and we see what happened. Came along Ezra, came along Nehemiah, they made the calculated decision, Niskatnu Hadar. It's been 900 years since the time of Yeshua, Ad Kan, now is a time where we're going to have to forfeit, give up the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah at the expense of losing Zel Umazel Baruch Lekim, losing this incredible Kedusha of Nevuah, because we're not going to survive. Everything at its time, as I call Osa Yofe Be'itai. Everything has a time and place, and there's a trade-off, and there's a sacrifice. Yeshua's name is Choser. He lost out. And only at the time of Ezra do we have this expression that the schus of what they have done protected them like a sukkah. Okay, then say how you have the Medrash over here. I'm surprised you don't have the Medrash that actually says it. It's not here. I'm surprised it's not here. Maybe we'll come across it. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says. We connect Pasuk Perek Ches Pasuk Yud Zayin, the Sukkos, to the Yeshua. His name is Choser. To what it says here in Perek Tes Pasuk Dalid VaYizaku BeKol Gadol El Hashem Elokeihem. Okay, let's now go further. Now, by the way, it's interesting that in the world, they try to do this today in a high school. They teach American history, teach world history. There were great moments in world history, in American history. Great things happened. There were very great, powerful people. There were brilliant people. There were fascinating events. It's always very interesting to see what was doing in the Jewish world at the same time. And when you take a time period, you always find that if you study Jewish history, in the Jewish world, there was something equally, now you can't say equal, but there was something that was very significant happening spiritually in the Jewish world that corresponded to what was taking place in the secular world. We very often, unfortunately, study Jewish history. Right? You go, it takes time to study, you read a good book, you go watch a documentary, or you go to a shiur in Jewish history. And those who enjoy, you study secular world history. And we don't really put the two together. But it's fascinating if you're able to match up the dates. There are incredible parallels in what was taking place during different periods of time in the world. It's always Zeh Le'uma Zeh Bara Elokim. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to this world a Shefa of Kedusha, he doesn't make it so easy. There's an Nisayon. There will be a Shefa, there will be an influence of other forces that will take you away from that Kedusha. And you have to make the proper decision. And that's really what's happening here with Ezra and Nehemiah. The difference, the Nevuah, is going to be the game we're going to have if we'll be able to tolerate the Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah and Gilui Arayos. Okay, let's now go to Pasuk Hey. Vayomer Vayomru Halevim. The Levim spoke. Well, who are the Levim? They are Yeshua, the Kadmiel, Boni, Chashav, Niyo, Sherevia, Hodia, Shivanya, and Pesachia. Eight people. Now, these eight people, look, are they the same eight people as before? So it's not really clear because the names, some of the names are exactly the same and some of the names are not the same. So it's not clear if they're the same people that were called by different names or now we have different Levim. I don't know the answer. We have Pesachia. Someone's Pesachia was Mordechai. Mordechai was Pesachia. He was able to open up mysteries. Okay. What? Also, Mordechai was not a Levi. So Vayomer HaLevim, you're right. It's a very good point. So it cannot be that he was a Levi. Here it says Vayomer HaLevim, Yeshua, right. These had to be Levi, so that cannot be Mordechai. There's a different Pesachia, you're right. Cannot be a different Pesachia. So we have here, what did they say? Kumu, they said, get up. They told Klai Shal, get up. Baruch Hu Es Hashem Elokeichem, bless Hashem your God, min ha'olam ad ha'olam. From this world to the next world. Now, what do those words mean? So we have two different interpretations here on the page from Rashi and the Mitzvah. Let's look at Rashi right away. Rashi from the beginning of creation till the end, the world was created, and there'll be an end. We have no idea what the end is, but it's a matter of time. The way Rashi learns is time. From the beginning of time to the end of time, the way we know it. By Hashem, there's no such thing as time. Hashem, it's Hoya, Hoyve V'yiyah, it's all the same. That's the very hard difference between living, that's probably the most Megushim, the most physical thing in this world is time, versus spirituality. Time. We live in a world, there's a moment. Past, present, future. Back on the Shbaruch Hu, Hoya, Hoyve V'yiyah. The Mitzudah says it's not a matter of time, it's a matter of space. Let's look at the Mitzudah's Pasuk, hey? The Levim told people, get up and make a bracha. Thank Hashem. From one edge to the other edge. Space. So Rashi learns, you say this davening every day. Before we come to Baruch Hashem Yom, and we say also, we'll come to that a little bit. But Baruch Hashem le'olam min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, does this, it's either interpreted like Rashi, time, Mitzudos, space. And they both are correct. Let's go further. Min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, v'varchu shem k'vaydecha. Now they go further. The Levium are now, there's a comma. Or there's a period after min olam v'ad olam. They first tell the Klal Yisrael, they tell them Baruch Hu Hashem Elokecha min olam v'ad olam. Period. then they turn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they bless. V'yivarchu Shem Kivodecha. They then say, Ribbono Shel Olam, may your name, may your holy, your honored name be blessed. U'miroimam, and you are elevated, I'll call Baruchu Usila, you are elevated above every blessing and praise. Now, before we explain the pasuk, we should be aware, from here we learn that in the Beis HaMikdash, they never answered Amen. We answer to a bracha, Amen, which is Nutrikin, Kel Melech Nema. It's a pasuk you have in the Torah. The Amr Isha, Amen, Amen. You have in Parashas Nitzavim. Parashas Nitzavim, the brachos.
That's in Nassau.
The brachos, the Amdu, they stand, oh. Har Grizen Har Evil, they stand and the people answer, Amen. Amen. So it's a word in the Torah. Amen means Emes. It's a word which means Emes, which Chazal interpreted to mean it's Kel Melech Neman. That's how we respond, of course, to a bracha. Everyone knows that. But in the Beis HaMikdash, when a person would make a bracha, the Kohen made a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedoshenu B'mitzvos Lanu al mitzvahs carbon oil. I don't know, whatever the bracha was on the mitzvah of bringing a carbon oil, carbon tamina, carbon tamina shlam. Whenever you brought a carbon, you made a bracha. You made a bracha. So how would you answer to the bracha? You would not say amen. You would say baruch Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. That is the response to a bracha, and that is what we learn from this pasuk over here. Then the Levim, they then speak directly to Hashem, they say, may your Hashem kvedecha be blessed, and your name is exalted, al kol bracha usihila, which means, the Levim are saying that it's impossible for a human being to really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is miroimam. He is exalted. He is way above anything that we can say, any praise and blessing that we can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we have no asaga. We're only human beings. We have no understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The best that we can do is bless Hashem's name. Because a name, a shame, is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtzein, he relates to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with this concept called Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a mashahu of his essence, and he was mitzamtzein. He limited it. He limited it into an area, into a form which a human being can relate to. That limitation, that tzimtzum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we call the shame, is the way we can relate to a mashu of Hashem's essence. That is what we do when we give a bracha. We give a bracha to Hashem's name, to what Hashem has, the ability that Hashem has given us to relate to Him. But the true essence of Hashem, that we have no understanding of. That's beyond us. That's miroimam. Al kol beracha us is a very powerful pasuk. This pasuk is like the aleph beis when you deal with balei tshuva, you deal with people to introduce people to religion, to yahdus, to the fundamentals of understanding Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the pasuk that is quoted. There's two parts. The Baruch Hu Shem Kivaydecha, we bless Hashem's name, what the little bit that we can relate to, but don't be foolish to think you got the whole thing. You understand Kadosh Baruch Hu in his entirety. We just bless your name, Shem Kivaydecha, but you, your essence, Hashem, we give up. Umiraimam, it is exalted, I'll call Baruch Hu Sehila. Okay, it's very powerful pasuk. Three things happening here. They're teaching us how to respond to a blessing. Baruch Hashem Elokeichem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. Two perushim, Rashi and the Mitzvot, time and space. The way we bless Hashem is limited to Shem Kvodecha, and its true essence is Meroi Malkol Baruch Usi. Let's see the Rashi and the Mitzvot in its entirety. Pasuk Hey in the Rashi. Rashi is being very precise. After the Levim tell the people, those who are assembled, how to respond to a bracha, Baruch Hashem min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam, now they direct their attention, their focus is now towards Hashem. Baruch Hashem kvodecha, may your name, your glorified name, your honored name may be blessed. Ki hu gadol umiroimam al kol bracho usahila. Ki kol ha bracho susila shalo. Hey, okay, I told you the second parish. First parish is the reason why your name shall be blessed, because you are the source. Ki hu gadol umiroimam ki kol ha brachos usahila shalo. Hey, the reason why Hashem's name should be blessed is because He is the source of all bracha. That is how Rashi is interpreting the two parts of the pasuk in his first interpretation. One was, we'll go back to the pasuk. Bivarcha Hashem koydecha, kama. We have to add a word in. Why? Why should your name be blessed? Because umiroimam al kol bracha usahila. Because you are elevated above every bracha usila, meaning, according to Rashi's interpretation, all blessing and praise come from you. And therefore, it's fit for you to be praised and for you to be blessed. Dovar acher, a second interpretation, umiroimam al kol bracha usila, she'ein b'riya, no creature, yecholo levorchoi ulahalaloi, lefi godloi v'roimim musoi, no human being can properly praise Hashem according to His greatness and exaltedness. Shehu miroimam v'nasa yoiser, mash'ein hape yecholo ledaber. And this interpretation requires more explanation, which is brought out by the Mitzudos, better. Let's go to the Mitzudos, Pasek Hei. V'yomu cholam, amu kumu b'juz v'vorchu, b'noilam v'tolema me'amayshon miktsoi so'ilam v'yad, Ketzasai, Bivarchu, Chalju Prem Kabimalo Mamaka Barchu, Vamu Hain Bine Shal, Yvarchu Shem Kroidecha, we shall bless your name. Aval Ata, but you Hashem himself, Miroimam, Al Kol Bracha Usahilo, Ki Ein Lasaper Kotilasach, it's impossible to properly praise you. So therefore, the best that we can do is only praise your name, your Shem. That's really what Rashi is saying in the Dover Acher. Dover Acher, that's really the hidden message. The Dover Acher, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is exalted above all blessing, so it's impossible to properly praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the best that we can do is praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how we can relate to him, and the way that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we call Hashem's name. It's the glimpse that Hashem gives us of himself in the way he conducts the world, in the way he relates to us. That is Hashem's shame, and that is what we praise. Okay, now we go to Pasik Vav. Atahu Hashem Lubadecha. So this is beginning of what we say in the Nusach HaTfilah every single day before we begin the Shira. This is now going to begin a brief synopsis of history. Okay, this is world history. It's a very powerful. It's interesting that we stopped short. The history goes all the way on, much, much further to the end of the parak. Kamat, it's a very long parak, but we only go through history until we come to Kriyas Yamsuf. And when we come to Kriyas Yamsuf, we right away stop and we sing Shir. We stop short. And now these psukim here from Pasuk Vav all the way until Pasuk Chavav, the next 20 psukim describe history, world history. And then from Pasuk Chavav to the end, we describe our rebellion. Unfortunately, how we have not been faithful to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and what follows from that. Okay, so we'll stop here. We'll pick this up, Mir Tashem, tomorrow with Pasuk Vav. Very good. So I wanted to discuss that. Very, very good. So the Bali Musar tell us. The Bali Musar tell us that in ancient times we don't find materialism. We don't find a taiva. A big, beautiful house. Kings had nice houses. The average person. The Yetzirah for Avod Zar was transferred to materialism. A desire to acquire wealth. So, not that it became bottle. It was just...
Zar went out of style.
Right. It became... It took on a different form. Avod Zar literally means strange service. Serve the holy, almighty dollar.